Nick Ashew on the Fan. I'm at Nick Ashew on Twitter. All of the socials. Oh, man. Is it going to be Darren Peterson or is it going to be AJ DeBonta? I'm leaning more towards Darren Peterson. And I'm not saying even who I would take right now. By the way, real quick, Christopher on Twitter, Grocery Guy 369, by the way, that's a great handle. Metallica and Russian is the largest concert ever, I believe. We were talking about that last
time. Okay.
I've been to
Metallica.
It's Metallica. I just want to know I want to see some of these venues. Again, we've seen a lot of it where it's just a giant field and they set up a stage, so that's my guess is what most of these usually would be. But yeah, so he says that it was Metallica and Russia. So your research is wrong, Wes.
Don't trust Wikipedia. Don't blame the Wes Clark Show. Blame Wikipedia, okay?
No. All the hate should be sent to you. This is your fault.
You just hate Ohio State fans.
No, I don't. It's just you. You're a troublemaker. Okay. You're the problem. Hey, say the name Michigan real quick. The team of North. That was actually the best bit you've had so far today. This is good. And I always know things are going to go off the rails whenever we're working together. So there's that. Look, the Darren Peterson heat is getting louder and louder. And I will tell you when it got loud is it got loud once his medicals came back clear. Once his medicals came back clear and teams around the NBA saw that, you realized, okay, that's the one concern. Because this is what I keep asking everybody. Everybody talks about there's more risk with Darren Peterson. What is the risk? Name the risk. He's not as big as AJ DeBonta. He doesn't need to be. He's 6'6", 200 pounds. He's fine. He doesn't need to. He'll bulk up a little bit. He'll add a few pounds of muscle with just training and nutrition, and he'll be okay. Is it the cramping? Okay, it's been established. They've gone through the medicals, and I can read a text. I talked about this yesterday on 980, so I have to bring it up again here because it's very. I may not even be able to bring up the text. It's probably too far down, but it is viewed as what happened in college with him leaving games and the cramping and all that as it's college S, not NBA essentially. Yeah, here's the quote from somebody I talked to. Quote, that's college S. Once they do the NBA medicals, teams won't care about that. That is a direct quote. Teams just don't care as long as they know that you're healthy, they like you in the interviews. And why were the other conversations and meetings with the Jazz canceled after the conversation with the Wizards? Now, he doesn't want to go to Utah. He wants to go to the Wizards. If you notice, we've had a trend over the last few years. Alex Saar didn't want to go to Atlanta, want to play for the Wizards. Ace Bailey, even though it didn't work out, pulled a similar thing with the Jazz. Not going to meet with them, not going to work out with them, not going to do anything. Jazz still drafted him. And he's playing there. But Darren Peterson also wants to be a part of the Wizards. Now, he does want to go number one overall, and there's this rivalry there between AJ DeBonta and Darren Peterson. Both want to go number one. AJ DeBonta has been number one since his first ranking. He's talked about this, which to me, here's the thing. I understand the idea of being able to say number one overall pick, but don't you want to go to the best situation too? Now, granted, in this, the Wizards are a great situation, but that's not always the case. Quarterbacks, this is a big thing. You know, you look at the NFL, like Aaron Rodgers dropped in the draft, but ended up going to Green Bay, and it probably worked out for him. Didn't go to the 49ers, didn't go to a team that was a mess. He went to a team that where he could learn and sit and grow, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer because of it. Debate what you want about his career and what you liked and what you didn't and should have had more Super Bowls, whatever. Sometimes it's better situation versus the number of where you're drafted. I get it. There is slotted money and income that's a part of it in terms of these rookie-scale contracts, but if you're successful, it's not going to matter. If you're good, it's not going to matter. You're going to make up for it endorsements if you went 7th versus 2. You'll be all right. But here's one of the big things that solidifies more for me as to why the Wizards should take Darren Peterson number one overall. And it's a simple and it's a short clip. But John Wall, ever since he's gotten on TV and really started talking, you know, we've really seen how deep and how advanced his basketball IQ is. He is so good at just explaining the game of basketball, the intricacies, the nuances, but also just the simple things of like knows what every college, every player went to. Wes, have you ever seen those videos of John Wall? I think he does it with Prime. It's not with Monumental. He does this bit with Prime where it's kind of the who he play for like Charles Barkley did, but it's colleges. John Wall names every single one of them. Now, I get it. That's not going to dictate, like, hey, John Wall knows who what college they went to. He clearly knows. There's more to it than that, like I said. He understands the game. He explains it so well. High basketball IQ. Here's who John Wall thinks the Wizards should take number one overall.
If you were a GM, who would you take number one overall in the draft?
If I was number one, I'm taking me. For me, I'm taking Darren Peterson number one. But I got AJ DeBenson second.
So it's quick. It's short. There's music under it. But he said he would take Darren Peterson number one. And A.J. DeBonso should go second. There is a groundswell for Darren Peterson. Do not be surprised if Darren Peterson is the number one overall pick by the Wizards. Because what you're hearing publicly with A.J. DeBonso is people echoing a lot of narratives. And it doesn't mean that A.J. DeBonso isn't a great player. It's just that it's the safer thing to say. Well, everybody else seems to like him publicly, so it's got to be A.J. DeBonso. Behind the scenes, I'm telling you, there are scouts, there are teams that love Cam Boozer and love Darren Peterson and what their upside is and what their potential is down the road. Some view Cam Boozer as the best player in the draft. He's just not as athletic, but in terms of fundamentally sound player and well-rounded game and work ethic and basketball IQ and just ability to have a long, really successful career, Cameron Boozer is looked at as that guy by a lot of teams. They love him. There are teams that absolutely love him. Now, do I believe the whole idea that the Jazz are torn between DeBonso, Peterson, and Boozer at number two? No, I don't. If DeBonso's on the board, they're taking him. Without question, it will be easy. All of the tie-ins are there. Even though that Boozer has a little bit of, you know, tie-ins with his dad playing for the organization, that all exists too. But he went to BYU. The owner helped get him to BYU. I mean, it's all there. They want A.J. DeBonso. But interesting enough, it's very clear that there actually may be, like, you're starting to hear more and more, I think, cracks in the confidence, at least, when it comes to what number one overall is going to look like. This was Brian Windhorst talking about the number one overall pick.
I'm debating about whether I should show a text message. Sure, I'll show it.
Uh-oh.
We're showing a text message?
Really? Well, you're going to cover the name?
No, I'll show it.
Oh, wow.
I don't think there's a problem with this.
I don't know where this is going.
Ace DeBanza, AJ's dad, sent me this morning. It's the picture.
No idea what that is.
Just a completely blurry screen.
It's a Jazz shirt and a Wizards shirt. He's got them both. They're preparing.
They're ready.
They don't even seem to know. That was Windhorst on the Hoops Collective, by the way. Look, this is not a cut and dry AJ DeBonso number one overall. Now, that doesn't mean that the Wizards don't end up taking him. And again, I'm sitting on the fence slightly with this because, again, this is very much an up-in-the-air situation. The risk to me with taking Darren Peterson versus AJ DeBonso is not the type of player you're getting. You're getting a dog with Darren Peterson. I'm telling you. I know people hate when I say this, but you have to ignore what happened at Kansas. That is not the full picture of that player. It's just not. He was out of position. He was dealing with health issues the entire time he was there. He's been cleared medically 100%, and he is a competitor, an absolute competitor. You have to overlook what happened at Kansas. I'm not telling you what I saw at Kansas means that he's going number one overall. I'm telling you what scouts see, what they've seen in workouts, what they've had in conversation. Well, not really workouts as much. He's not really working out for a lot of teams. But what he did, obviously, in the combine, the conversations that are had behind the scenes, talking to coaches, all this, and the Wizards have been digging, and the Wizards have been digging for a little while now. Once those medicals came back clear, it opened up the floodgates for Darren Peterson. And his upside as a scorer, as a shooter, as a defender, as a guy that will be willing to be a number one, like a number one on a team, it's there. And one of the things that has been relayed to me in terms of personality, so there's a key here, right? So Darren Peterson was very surprised, reportedly, after his first conversation with the Wizards, because it was far more about what he is as a player, as a person, getting to know him. Less about him as a player, more about him as a person. And that's the MO. Michael Winger's talked about this. They want somebody that can be the face of the organization. He hasn't said that phrase specifically, but you're going to be the number one overall pick by the Wizards. You will be the face of the team day one, period. So can you handle that pressure? Can you handle that, you know, expectation on the court and off the court, in the community, with fans? Are you part of it? He has that type of personality. So does AJ DeBonso, but I'm telling you, I cannot tell you how many times I've been told this, that Darren Peterson is looked at as a guy that will go after any star and is as a competitor as much as anybody in this draft, more than A.J. DeBonsa. And when they've played together with like Team USA, DeBonsa has been looked at as a guy that deferred a lot to Darren Peterson, that Darren Peterson was the alpha out of that. And when they played each other, you know, when BYU played Kansas, you saw that as well. I just... This is very much up in the air, and I can't. I'll be honest with you. I can't get enough of this. I can't get enough of all of this that's going on right now, because the Wizards control so much, and they're handling this so well. They really are. You're keeping everybody guessing. It's a good thing. It's a smart thing. And this look, this draft has a lot of talent, and this draft has a lot of players that have some serious expectations, and the Wizards are in control of that from a draft pick perspective. Now, teams that have stars, they might be willing to move. That could be a different conversation. And there are reports the Wizards could be getting involved in that aspect as well. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on the Fan. We're not going to get a lot out of Commanders minicamp. It's tough, right? Because you're going to get the simple things like, oh, the offense is great and we're working. But did get a little bit more in terms of, you know, Jaden Daniels talking about last year versus this year. You know, he wants to put all of it behind him and, you know, kind of move forward and let's forget about it. In some ways, I'm okay with, right? Like, let's kind of forget the injuries and let's just hope that it never happens again. That's what I like to do. Just wash our brain out with bleach so we can just get that image out of our head. But he did say, though, he said he's got a long way to go with the new offense, focused on like the terminology, the understanding of, you know, the why behind each play, which, look, right now that's what it's going to be. We can pretend that we know so much or have an idea of what this offense is going to look like, what the defense is going to look like. But in reality, we're going to get very little. Minicamp's going to give you something. OTAs give you, you know, a tiny little bit. And training camp will give you more. And that's when you start getting an idea. But here's the thing. They're going to be layering in stuff. They're going to have to get used to it. And they're going to be at real game speed week one of the NFL season. Until then, it's not the same. We can have simulated practices. We can have joint practices. We can have scrimmages. We can have preseason games where starters play a series. In the end, nothing will really give us the full idea of what this offense looks like and for them what it feels like to run that offense until week one of the NFL season. And guess what? Even then, it's not going to be fully accurate because things are going to change. But you know, the key here for the Commanders is you just cannot let this be something that ends up spiraling into more offenses and more systems for Jaden Daniels. It's so important. The development of a young quarterback in the NFL is based so much on the situation they're in, right? I talk about this a lot, and it's we've seen it time and time again. I'm not going to say that not Derek Carr, David Carr could have been a Hall of Fame quarterback. But what I will say is if you go back and look, he was drafted number one overall, sorry, Wes, by an expansion Texans team that had one of the worst offensive lines the NFL has ever seen. And he got sacked every play. Sometimes it felt like he was getting sacked multiple times on the same play. It was that bad. So how is a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback, he should have never been starting year one. How is a quarterback in that position supposed to grow and develop when they've got a bad offense, bad offensive line? Again, the offensive line's a middle-of-the-road offensive line for the Commanders at best right now. And we'll see, because we don't know what's going on at center right now for this team. But if you're getting a level of consistency for the next few seasons. I mean, really, it needs to be the next few seasons with this offense where Jaden Daniels is able to grow and develop and learn it and then add layers, and he has David Blau as his coordinator. And if, listen, if they succeed, eventually, yes, David Blau is going to take an offensive or take a head coaching job somewhere. It's going to happen. But let's just say, best case scenario, you get 5 years in this offense. 5 years. And the reason why I say 5 years, which might sound crazy, because it's like, well, Nick, if the offense is doing well, then we know David Blau is going to get poached. Maybe. But we've seen young coordinators wait for the right situation. And if David Blau waits 5 years, 5 years down the road, he takes his first head coaching job. He'll only be 35 years old, okay? So it's not like the clock is ticking in his head of like, I got to hurry up and get a head coaching job or it's going to pass me by. He's good. Now, he's in a good spot where 3, 4, 5 years, and he's still a really, really young head coach. One of the youngest we'll ever see in the NFL, right? I mean, obviously, Sean McVay, we know how young he was, but this may be a situation where even David Blough becomes the head coach of the team. And again, I know I'm jumping down to like four different layers here when, you know, you got to actually succeed and show that this can work for us. But the most important thing for them is to have an offense that has a level of consistency. They're going to have to add pieces, not just to the playbook, but when it comes to receivers, not now, but even down the road, at some point, Terry McLaurin's not going to be with this team anymore. Whether that's a couple of years or it's soon, it's eventually going to happen. So there'll be a dressing receiver. There might be some turnover on the offensive line. There might be some changes in the backfield, depending on what it looks like this year. These are things that are going to happen over the next couple of years. It's guaranteed. It's etched in stone. This is how the NFL works. But if you have the quarterback and the offensive coordinator and the system is similar and everything else is plug and play, identifying talent in the draft, Antonio Williams works out, gets a bigger role, maybe a 1,000-yard receiver a year or two from now, maybe this year, who knows? But if you have the foundation in place, everything else comes together. It does. If you have the franchise quarterback, you have the offensive coordinator, they have the freedom, they have the chemistry, they have the ability to continue to build on success that they've already started with. That's what's going to make this successful, because in the end, the NFL is based on quarterback play first. And look, it's a disservice at times if you're a team that just doesn't have the talent at quarterback, right? We've seen it. We all know. You get to a point, though, where you're kind of hampered as an organization, but that's how the NFL is. It just is. Like, you just have to deal with it. And once you get that quarterback, you've got to, I mean, you must nurture him, right? You just have to get it to the point where your quarterback and offensive coordinator they finish each other's sentences. I want David Blough and Jaden Daniels finishing each other's sentences by the end of this season. That's where they should be. I mean, they should be like stepbrothers at the very end, where they were just, well, not when they were like grown-ups, but like at the end when they were friends before they fought. Anyway, you know what I mean. That's what they have to be. And I get it. Last year's last year. It can't do anything for me. I mean, yes and no. It's better to, like, here's the thing. You go through a tough time in your life. You can't forget the tough time you went through, but you don't want to bask in it. You don't want to marinate in it. You want to take the lessons from it. You want to take what you can learn and what you can control, and you move forward with it. That's what Jaden Daniels has to do. You can't forget that last year happened, but you can't bask in it and dwell in it. Because if he does that and he starts thinking about, what if I get hurt on this play? What if I get hurt on this play? That's a very, very dangerous road to walk down. And look, guys will tell you, athletes will tell you that when you have a major injury, and Jaden Daniels had, what, like 4 or 5? I mean, it felt like he was injured every, I mean, there was multiple injuries. It's just a matter of how many there were and how many were repeats if we're trying to keep track here from last year. But if Jaden Daniels were to sit and constantly think about that, he's falling into the category of the physically overcoming it, but not mentally. And a lot of guys will talk about this, where there's, you tear an ACL, for an example. I'm not trying to put that into the universe for Jaden Daniels, so we'll just say somebody else. Tears an ACL, whatever. You physically recover. You go through the rehab. You're cleared. You get in football shape like Patrick Mahomes. But what's he going to be mentally? And I'm not saying he's going to be like broken mentally or anything. What I am saying is he going to think about that at all? Guys falling around his knee at some point, week 3, week 4, week 5. Does that give him any sort of yips? Does that just, even the slightest of hesitations? It's possible. It happens a lot. And that's just, I mean, they're human, right? Like, this does happen, but you have to be able to overcome that. You have to be able to think about that. Now, Laremy Tunsil is just, you know, everybody's singing his praises. Everybody's out there talking about how great Jaden Daniels is. But you don't get anything negative. Nobody's going to say anything like, oh, I don't know, man. The offense couldn't figure this out, because the expectations are low. What do you really expect at this point? Honestly. Like, what do we expect in OTAs and minicamp? It's a lot of working through stuff, throwing the football around, learning the basics of the playbook. You know, it's June, right? Like, it really is. Long way to go is okay. It's June. It just needs to click by September. And that's the most important thing. The footwork, the timing, working with the receivers and running backs and the offensive line or whatever. And then, look, let's remember where this team was this time, not even this time, but, you know, training camp last year. Terry McLaurin was out holding in. Deebo Samuel was out there. You had other injuries to the offensive line. The offense never had an opportunity to develop any chemistry. Nothing. And that was my big concern heading into last year. At the beginning of the season, I said, look, this defense has a lot of vets. They're going to get hurt at some point. But if they can hold down the fort through the first month or so of the season, this offense can hopefully click and things can get back together. Of course, it didn't happen. It never got to that point. They were always playing from behind. But you didn't have anybody in camp. You didn't have the offense together. Offensive line injuries were just all over the place. And yeah, Terry was out. And then some of it too was like, you don't have Debo and Terry together, and they need to learn how to play with each other on the field on top of that. And you now have an opportunity where it's all about football. Knock on wood, everybody stays healthy. And that gives you a leg up. Because, you know, like, look at Alex Saar. Right now, Alex Saar is going to miss out on a lot of development opportunities while he's rehabbing the foot surgery that he just went through. What does that mean for next season for the Wizards? Long way off. We'll see. But it doesn't help. Guys having to deal with rehab and recovering from injuries and going through that whole process before they're even getting to the peak level of shape that they want to be in. Because, you know, everybody's in the best shape of their lives in training camp. You always hear that. But there's something to be said for not having anything that's getting in your way beyond it just being about football. And that's the most important thing out of all this. Is right now, you got everybody that's healthy. So we're knocking on wood that that's going to stay. And I get it. Jaden Daniels can put it behind him, but it's only to a point. Only to a point. Because you can't forget what happened last year. You just can't bask in it and just sit there and constantly dwell. I don't think he will, though. I mean, look, he's mature. He's smart. High football IQ. Great work ethic. Great leadership. Just stay healthy. Please. Just stay healthy. And you could say, oh, he's got to get bigger. And, I mean, okay, he can pack on more muscle, but that doesn't guarantee that that's going to, you know, do anything. Does not guarantee, just because you're bigger, that that's going to be the case. Nick Ashew on The Fan.
The assumption, the feeling is this is the most difficult of the games. Well, first of all, Bellingham, as that wasn't dealt with by the Croatian defense, and Jude Bellingham running in from a tight angle and dead off the post from one end of the field to the other. Jude Bellingham puts England back in front 90 seconds into the second half.
You know, you're just rubbing it in, aren't you, Wes? I bet the under 2.5 goals in that game, and it was 2-2 at halftime. And that died real quick.
Yeah, sorry, I had to.
You're the worst. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Yeah, World Cup is it's going strong. But you know what's even better? How strong Scotland fans are going. This is
crazy.
Have you seen this?
They dried out Boston.
This is unbelievable. Scotland fans drink Boston dry as local bars run out of beer. What a headline. You know one of my favorite things about this entire World Cup? One of my favorite things about this entire World Cup has been watching the videos of people experiencing America for the first time. And just the stuff that I watched this video today. This guy was from France. And he did an entire video. He's just walking through like a park. He's down in Texas. And I guess, is AC not, like, air conditioning, not prevalent in France?
No, neither is it in Italy either.
And he was like, it's the most amazing thing on earth. He's like, everybody puts ice in everything here, and it makes everything better. And air conditioning is just making everything better. That's, it's awesome, unbelievable. Man. And, like, these are simple things that we don't think about, as long as you have them. And, like, not everybody does, so you probably understand what he's talking about. But, like, it's such a simple thing that maybe gets taken for granted. And he's like, this is the most amazing thing ever. Air conditioning. It's, he's like, Americans are scared of one thing, being hot, and it's awesome. And I can't get over this. Or people trying, you know, fast food in America, and they're like, everybody talks about the portion sizes here, but they don't talk about everything is so amazing. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know why it tastes so good? Because it's all junk. Because they're all eating this, like, fast food. And
we were talking about Taco Bell the other day.
That's right. Listen, Taco Bell tastes good. It's just, it comes out the other end rough. It ain't good. It ain't gonna work for you. But you did a good job of not getting Taco Bell tonight. I know it's, you struggled with it last time,
dude.
Yeah, you struggled.
They should.
Didn't you?
You know why In-N-Out's called In-N-Out?
Well,
yeah, exactly.
I have an idea. Same thing with Taco Bell. But so Scott, I don't know if this is, my guess is there's a level of, like, marketing with this whole bit too, right? It's like when the Popeye's chicken sandwich. They ran out of chicken for it. I'm like, well, you're making all the other kinds of chicken, but you don't have the specific chicken for this chicken sandwich that everybody loves. Or when White Claws, suddenly the supply was down. They've run out of White Claws. Boston Beer Company, which, they're kind of a big company, said in a news release, from Thursday to Sunday, the Tartan Army, Scotland's supporters, their organization, they're a huge group. They're ones with the bagpipes. There's a video, if you've seen that, fans that rented an Airbnb and at 6:30 in the morning, they're playing the bagpipes outside. Be really annoying, but also kind of funny at the same time. But the Boston Beer Company said that this Scotland's Tartan Army drank four times what the company normally stocks during a typical four-day holiday stretch like the 4th of July.
Oh, my.
Adding that it had to schedule an emergency delivery of beer Saturday morning, and they're adding extra deliveries this week just to make sure that it's enough. We've never seen anything like it, according to Billy DeCane of the Sam Adams Boston Tap Room.
They took over Fenway. Did you see videos of that?
Yes.
I would love to be at that game.
I love seeing what other fan bases do to, celebrate their team, follow their team, make it, what their traditions are, and seeing them just invade. Like, we've seen so many videos about, and take away the burning the school bus and some of the bad stuff with Knicks fans. Like, just the other stuff, the big crowds and the celebrating and the music. And you're seeing this, right? Like, you see these World Cup fans, and it's like, yeah, this is what goes on around the world when people celebrate their teams. Look, this is what's great about sports. It brings everybody together, and sometimes we act like psychopaths. Now, there's controlled psychopath, which is good. Then there's the bad. But this is just fans of Scotland coming over and drinking a crap ton of beer. It's unbelievable. Do I believe that they're probably drinking other beers too? But, the Boston Beer Company decided that they were going to, because it is in Boston, make sure that they get this news out that everybody's drinking their beer. It's beautiful marketing.
Oh, yeah.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Big time.
But, man, Boston has got to be, Boston and New York right now got to be two places that are just, it has just got to be utter chaos right now. I can't even imagine.
I wonder what the population of those cities are right now.
With all
is.
The extra people
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I want to know. It's got to be times two what the normal population is.
Well, I guess what you'd have to do is try to find information on what the estimate is of the total number of Airbnbs and hotel rooms, and then that would give you an idea,
Yeah,
it's not going to give you a ton, but it's going to give you at least a little bit of an idea. Hey, man, we haven't had the World Cup here since 94, and the social media is showing us a lot more of what people are doing. But it is funny, though. I mean, even the Brazil fans that were walking through the Knicks, it wasn't even the celebration yet. They were there some.
It was the riots.
But it was just during the game still, when everybody's out in the street watching games in random places, and it's they're getting a tour of New York.
They've with got, officers following them just because they didn't know what was going to happen.
Some of them, yeah. Who
knows? But then, I don't know if you saw the video of Brazil fans and whoever they were going to play. They got into a fight in Times Square.
See,
something about New York.
No. Here's what it is. It's something about drunk sports fans. Let's be honest with ourselves.
That's true.
Again, there are going to be stupid people. Bad apples, if you will, is the expression people always use, that just ruin it for everybody else. And in this case, you're going to get that everywhere. And look, how many videos have we seen of fights and stands at NFL games? It happens all the time. It doesn't make it right, I'm saying, and it's not just isolated to, a Knicks celebration or, we haven't seen any Boston fan or Scotland fans, I guess, are just drunk and happy. We haven't seen any. I'm sure there's, but I'm sure there's at least one or two fights. There has to be.
Hey, they're not going to. I don't want to. I'm gonna knock on wood for them. I don't think they're gonna win at all. They're here for a good time. So,
isn't that great? It's sometimes, and I know it's hard because suffering is part of being a fan. But sometimes to just not to have low expectations and just enjoy the moment is kind of nice too, as opposed to living and dying by every second. Here's what this past season was for the Wizards. It was that this past season for the Wizards was, hey, I want to see a team that's gonna have fun. A team that's going to show they're growing, but we're not expecting a lot of wins, and we don't want wins because we knew they were tanking, right? That's sometimes, you don't want that for a long period of time, but in moments you're kind of this is cool. Low expectations and everything is just fun. Low ceiling, right? That's it. If you're Scotland, that's just enjoying being over here. It is one of my favorite things, though, especially the experiencing American food, because you just see everybody talking about how amazing it is. Look at all this food I get, and it's so good. I'm like, yep, if you eat it all the time, it's going to kill you. A European coming over to the U.S. and eating our fast food, you're going to die. It's just going to kill you.
No, for real.
You won't make it very long. There's no way. Like, you think Taco Bell tore you up the other day, buddy.
Toilet.
Yeah, you think Taco Bell tore you up. Think about someone from England.
Oh.
They're used to just eating. Well, they have kind of crappy food.
You know, what's interesting, though? Out in the EU, McDonald's is not allowed to sell the same type of products they do in the United States because it's illegal.
Nope. There is stuff in our food that is illegal in a lot of other countries. Yeah. And that is a whole other conversation for another day. But let me just tell you.
My godmother, she is from Europe. And when she moved to the United States, she went to McDonald's. And she actually, the first time she had a burger, she returned it and said, this doesn't taste right. And she ended up figuring out that it's actually different meat.
Yeah. Oh, no. Did you put it in quotes? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a deeper conversation, but I will just say yes. Yes is the answer to that. But the beer is gone in Boston, and it's probably not Boston. I mean, just looking at this, they're just walking down the street in bagpipes. I mean, it is an absolute circus, but a controlled circus, a good circus, and that's okay. That's a good thing. As long as nobody gets in fights, everything's fine. I mean, Boston has literally been taken over by Scotland fans. It's just crazy, and you know. And that's actually, so it's their first World Cup in 28 years, right?
So it's got to be.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, men's teams playing in its first World Cup in 28 years. Yeah, they're just celebrating. Awesome. There's no expectations. That's it.
You know, that I got to experience a small portion of that when I was at the World Baseball Classic, when I was down in Miami, and the DR and Venezuela fans were just taking over the city. It was awesome. At bars, outside the stadium. They had a little concert before the game. I mean, they're essentially rivals, but at the same time, they're also friends.
Right, right. And it's such a big event that everybody just goes all out for it. It's great. Just don't bet the under 2.5 goals.
Yeah, don't do that.
England, Croatia. That got me today. I'm really mad about that.
Don't bet the under on England. They might go on a run. They're really good.
Yeah,
at their
I think
set
I'm realizing
pieces.
That now. But they're so good defensively. I thought it was going to be more of a lower scoring game, and it's the start.
And they actually didn't look that good on defense today.
I know. It was complete opposite. So I know nothing, and now I'm done betting on the World Cup. That's what I've learned. I'm just done. I did very well in the NBA Finals, and I'm just going to call it. That's it. You know, I don't need to. I don't have to do it. I'm not doing a betting show. I don't have to sit here and, you know, I'm tired of it. Piss me off today, and I'm done. I'm done, Wes.
Oh, yeah? Okay, delete your accounts right now.
I might have to.
Okay, screen record and let's do it. And send it to me.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I can't do it. Nick Ash, you on the fan.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal, y'all. We gonna keep it a buck. I'm going to look right in the camera and tell Darren Peterson. Ain't no way in hell I'm taking you number one overall if it were me. For one reason above all else, I don't trust your availability.
And with that, Darren Peterson will be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. Nick Ashew on the fan, that was Stephen A. Smith, which is, I mean, again, I know the game he plays. I get it. He's done it for 30 years or however long he's been in this industry. And I like Stephen A. Met him a few times. Nice guy. But it's just the availability idea. Again, this is the surface level stuff that I'm talking about where people continue to just kind of regurgitate the same narrative over and over again. It has to be DeBonsa. Darren Peterson didn't play. We know why. And his medicals have cleared. And he is a competitor. You have to. And I know it's difficult for some people to do this, but I'm telling you, you have to kind of overlook what happened at Kansas for a majority of what happened with Darren Peterson. Now, does that contradict what I say? Like, oh yeah, when he played AJ DeBonsa and he looked like he was working him and was locked him up defensively or whatever. Like, yeah, it does in some ways, but if anything, doesn't that give you more of an idea? The game that really mattered against the guy that could be the other rival for the number one overall pick? Peterson looked really good. Look, it's easy to look back on that season and see him leaving games. And for a while, it was a question. It was a worry. And like, we've all been there, right? Why is he taking himself out of games? Why is he just kind of not, either not into it, looks physically unable, whatever the case is. We have that explanation now. And listen, I will say this. The whole idea of like hiding injuries or not talking about it or, you know, bringing it up after the fact, this is why you have to almost tell everybody the truth. If that's what was going on, you kind of have to just bring that up because it became a bigger issue because nobody knew what was going on. And it looked bad. Like, yes, it looked bad. And it's not like we haven't seen players sit out of, you know, bowl games in college football or, you know, guys sort of planning ahead and not playing a lot in college basketball. And it's happened before. But those were for injuries. Kyrie Irving played, what, 11 games at Duke? He was the number one overall pick. Great career. Now, I understand we can poke holes in that statement. There are things that were not great, and there are things about Kyrie that are frustrating or whatever the case is. Kyrie is an all-time great. Plain and simple. All right? It's worked out. Even with the on the court, okay, the talent that he has. Darren Peterson is worthy of the number one overall pick. You just have to decide if you're the Wizards, do you want somebody that's going to be that, you know, that bigger wing that teams certainly want in the NBA? Or do you look at your roster and say, we've got guys that play that position that will be good enough, and we are willing to sacrifice that for somebody like a Darren Peterson that's going to play, you know, the one and the two, but a 6'6", 200-pound guard that can play either position, that can defend multiple positions, that has almost a 6'10 wingspan, and that can shoot the three at a 38% clip. And will probably get better as he gets to the next level. Now, yeah, can A.J. DeBonso improve his three-point shooting? Sure. Anthony Edwards did. It's possible. Peterson's the better defender, though. He's the better shooter at this point and has tremendous upside. Tremendous upside. So I just, a lot of times what you get, and this is why so much stuff is kind of pushed out there in terms of narratives, where it's some of it's fed on purpose. You have to sometimes comb through a lot of this. And again, that's why I try to talk to people as much as I can behind the scenes. You hear a lot more about Darren Peterson, and you hear a lot more about Cam Boozer. Teams really like these guys. And I mean, I'll talk about it as much as I have to until this draft finally happens. Because it is a lot closer at the top than I think a lot of people realize. And yeah, of course it could end up being A.J. DeBonso. And I would be happy. Here's the best part. With all this, combing through all this crap and everybody's opinion or who says who or who says what. And, you know, listen, I'm only telling you what I've been told, and I've watched a lot of this. I've watched some of these other, you know, I've watched other games that are beyond just that Kansas-BYU matchup or things like that, and you can see it in Darren Peterson. You can see it. You can also see it in Cam Boozer, but you can see it in A.J. DeBonso. So you know what's going to probably happen? The Wizards are going to draft somebody that's going to have a really good career. And that's the best position for them to be in overall. And that's why they were so adamant without actually saying the inside thought out loud, we got to lose games. And you need the number one overall pick. And it couldn't have worked out any better for them. And look, sometimes the tide just turns for organizations. And you get better luck. And things work out. It happens. It absolutely happens. And there was a point where the Warriors were just a dumpster fire. Before they became a dynasty. And you could say the same thing about, I mean, you go down the list of any other team, the Thunder. And I know I talk about the Thunder and Spurs, and that was more of a rebuild, obviously. But the Spurs, even before they drafted Tim Duncan, they were an organization that was, you know, a good team. They had David Robinson. They weren't winning championships until Tim Duncan got there. And they got lucky. And they got the number one overall pick, jumped in the draft. The rest is history. I mean, where would the Bulls be if Sam Bowie hadn't been picked ahead of Jordan, right? A lot of it, there is a lot of luck that's involved in all of this. And organizations have that moment, and sometimes you get that guy. Sometimes you get that one guy that changes the whole trajectory for an entire team. I cannot wait for this to actually be here, though. It's Tuesday. Next Tuesday is the NBA draft, and we'll finally have answers. And maybe the Wizards get involved in some trades, too. There's a possibility for that. Maybe. Who knows? Nick Ashew on the Fan.